Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Oh, it's so wonderful to have a Lord. There are so many people out there that just plain don't know. And, you know, we just see it on every hand. But we are blessed. We are privileged. You know what? Just Brother Tim and I were able to take a little walk today. Ended up being a longer walk than we might have thought. But anyway, you know, we just ended up talking to a few people. And particularly there were a couple little girls that just, you know, very friendly, sweet little girls. And we were able to talk to them. And, you know, learned, you know, it's just mentioning the Lord Jesus to these children that the little girl said that her mommy didn't believe in God. And oh my, what a thought, you know. But, you know, Brother Tim was able to just mention to her that Jesus was indeed real. And we were able to just, you know, just say what we could, you know, to help this young child to realize that she could go to him, that she could give her heart to him. And oh my, it was just an amazing thing to just see how the Lord worked this out. But you know, again, just to realize how many people are out there and don't know Jesus, think he's dead, think it's extinct, think there never was a God. And all of that. I know we spoke with another woman, and you know, she, you know, was willing to say that, you know, she knew that there was something out there, but oh my, you know, she was, you could tell, a little uncomfortable, and we just began to tell her a little bit more, and, you know, the fact that we could always reach out to the Lord, and he's at present help in trouble, and whatever came to us at the moment to say. But, you know, again, you know, realizing how far out many people are, and you know, they don't have those connections. They don't have that hope. They're seeing these things going on in this world, and you know, the perception is so different. But we have hope here tonight. We know the Lord, and oh, what a blessing it is. What a wonderful thing it is. I know I felt like I better check my emails before I left tonight, and sure enough, Brother Brian had emailed me, and you know, we've kind of had this ongoing thing because his daughter Audrey has been having difficulties, and it's been hard since she came home from Mayo initially. But, you know, Brother Brian was asking if we could pray that things would work out so she could be brought to the University of Wisconsin Hospital in Madison. Only, you know, he mentioned that there might be an insurance issue. And then, you know, he asked everybody to pray on that concern because they are thinking that she needs a liver transplant. But anyway, the email before church here tonight, Brother Brian was saying he was sure it was because of the prayers of God's people. And lo and behold, the University of Iowa Hospital, which had rejected her formerly, decided to accept her. And, you know, they said this has not been done before. But praise the Lord, we serve a mighty God. And he has the answers for every situation. Praise the Lord. We're so blessed. I know I spoke with Sister Penny today, and her daughter Brooke went through surgery today, and we should pray for her. I believe the surgery went all right. But, oh my, you know, there's recovery time and all of this. And Sister Penny's birthday today, she mentioned. So we do want to wish her a very happy year in the Lord. Praise the Lord. But, oh my, so many things to consider, to pray about. Oh my, an email from Nancy in Florida this morning, and it was at the funeral for her daughter, and she was asking for prayer, you know, that oh, God would give her the strength to go forth and all of this and that. But there are so many needs in this world. And again, how horrible it would be not to have Jesus Christ. Oh my, the one who gives us strength, who helps us, who answers our prayers. Oh my, the mighty God, the one we know is coming again. And my, as we are watching these times, we know his coming must be very, very soon. You know, that Antichrist spirit that is in the world, it's very, very strong at this point. You know, when you have people that are actually lamenting because abortion has been stopped in many ways and brought to the level of the state's jurisdiction, I mean, that is unbelievable when you can think of people that literally are wishing for babies to be killed. Oh my, yes, talk about wickedness. Such as we've never seen before. Oh my. But oh, thank the Lord, we have the Word of God and we can turn to it. Oh yes, we have hope in our Lord and we know he's coming. And this time he's coming to judge this world in righteousness. Oh my, with all our hearts, with all our beings. Oh, we want to be ready at that moment. We want to be able to stand in his sight when he comes. And praise the Lord, this is what this is all about. This encouraging one another in the Lord. That's what it's all about, to stay close to the Lord, to be on our knees, to be in the Word of God. Oh yes, to talk of the Lord. It's because, yes, one of these moments, it's going to be over. And oh my, it's going to be worth everything to be right in the sight of God at that moment. Amen. Oh my, oh, we are so blessed to know the living God. Oh yes, I know there's another request that I brought out too as I added to the prayers that I've requested on the online there. And this woman named Charity who lost her baby. My daughter Vicki Beth has asked, will you pray for her too? The child was born with liver damage, it appears, and they were not able to get it to accept oxygen, and it died in the mother's arms with the family around it, and they were singing. Oh, I'm sure they were singing to the Lord, but oh my, you know, what a world. But thank God we have hope, we have Jesus. Amen. Let's pray here as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you again for such an opportunity. Oh, God, we thank you that we have hope in the midst of all of this confusion, all the nastiness, all the things that we are seeing in front of us, Lord, all the confusion, Lord. Oh, God, we have hope in you, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that you'd work in a mighty way, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that you'd touch us afresh. Oh God, I pray, oh God, that you'd use your word here tonight. Oh God, to speak to our hearts. Oh God, to help us to be reminded of the things that we must strive for in this world. How our minds must be stayed upon thee, Lord. Oh God, how we must be looking up, oh Lord Jesus. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for Sam's foot too. I pray that blistered area that once was anyway, that sore, would completely heal 100%, Lord. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord, that he would not need another round of antibiotic, but oh Lord, that, oh God, he would heal amazingly, Lord, to close in all the skin, and oh Lord, there'd be no further problems. Oh God, we give it to you, Lord. And oh Lord, I just continue to pray for Audrey. I pray that you'd work out all the details, Lord. Oh God, you know how to help her. You know what the answer is, oh God. And oh Lord, I just pray that your will would be done, that you'd strengthen her, Lord. Oh God, that you'd help her to put faith in her heart, Lord Jesus. And I pray, oh God, that you would work in a mighty way, Lord. Oh God, be there to help your people, Lord. Be there to help Brian and Vicki, Lord. Oh God, I pray that your strength would be with them and your faith in their hearts, Lord. And oh God, I pray that you continue to do great and wonderful things, Lord, for we give this to you, Lord. Oh God, we give these matters to you, Lord. I pray that you'd help Nancy there in Florida, Lord, that you'd put hope in her heart and peace in her heart, oh Lord Jesus, that you'd help through this very difficult time there, Lord, with the loss of her daughter. And oh Lord, I pray for this woman named Charity too and her family, Lord, that lost the little boy. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would comfort them, that you'd strengthen them. Oh God, oh Lord, that you'd be there, Lord, that they could sense your presence and know that it's going to be all right. Oh God, in Jesus' name, help your people, Lord. Oh God, continue to help Brooke, who had the surgical procedure today, Lord. Oh God, strengthen her and heal her, Lord. And oh God, be there, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, help this family, Lord. You know their needs even before we ask. We bring it to you, Lord. Oh God, help your people, Lord. Help LJS. Oh God, the meeting with his cousin from Poland, Lord. I pray that you'd work out every detail, Lord. Oh God, I pray that you'd repair the heart of this cousin, Lord. Oh God, oh Lord, that oh God, he might realize thy greatness and the wonderment of being your child. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done, Lord. I pray that you'd work here tonight. Thank you again for what you've done. Oh God, help that little girl, Lord. Oh, two little sisters there, Lord. I pray that you'd help those little children, Lord, whose mother doesn't think that you are real, that you exist, Lord Jesus. I pray that you touch their hearts. Oh Lord, you know how to do great and mighty things, Lord. I pray that you work here tonight, Lord, as, oh God, the scripture is being brought forth, Lord. Use it for thy name's sake, Lord. Oh God, give me the words that I need in Jesus' name, Lord. We could do nothing without you, Lord. We just thank you, oh God, for what you have done and what you are going to do, Lord. Oh God, you know how to take us through this world. Oh God, you know how to deliver us. Oh God, you know how to set your people free, Lord. And oh God, you know every problem, every situation, every need, Lord. Oh, beyond what I could remember or ask. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray, oh, Lord, that you'd work in a mighty way. Talk to our hearts. Prepare our minds. Help us, Lord, to be ready on that great and terrible day of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, thank the Lord. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay. The Lord's help, we're going to continue in 1 Corinthians here tonight. Praise the Lord. And you know, boy, as we read this epistle, we know that there is a need. You know, we initially come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We give our hearts over to him. But, oh my, there's a need for us to grow in the Lord. You know, we don't want to stay babies in the Lord Jesus. We need to grow. You know, we need to have some maturity. And, you know, that's going to mean, to be spiritually minded. It means that we need to learn how to overcome the flesh with the help of the Lord, learning to rely on him and to give it all over to him and to rely on the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, to lead us through this world. Amen. Praise the Lord. And how we need the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. That is, oh, so very important. We are ambassadors for Christ. And oh, how we need to put on Christ. Oh, that is so very necessary. But as I begin here, I'm just going to go to Romans chapter 8 here for just a little bit here to begin before I go into 1 Corinthians. Oh, praise the Lord. But let's just look here at Romans 8. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Romans 8, verse 1. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Praise the Lord, that's wonderful right there. We were all condemned before we came to the Lord. We had sin in our lives. And oh, how we needed the Lord Jesus to come and intervene. But praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Turning it over to the Lord, obeying the gospel. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes us free from the contrary spirit, the law of sin and death. Oh, yes, we'd all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, yes, we knew that the wages of sin is death. That would be the consequences of a life that has not been turned over to the Lord Jesus. Those sins still hanging over. But praise the Lord, we know from Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So it tells us here in chapter 8, verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Oh, praise the Lord. Isn't that so beautiful? God robing himself in flesh, sending Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Oh, yes, was made in the likeness of this sinful flesh. But he came, oh, yes, oh, that he might make a way of escape to those that would turn their lives over to him. And yes, because he was able to live without sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 4 that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then it explains in verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. He tells us in verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And then, oh yes, it explains it completely in verse 8 by saying, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Oh yes, we must turn our lives over to the living God. And how we need the power of the Holy Ghost to help us to overcome this world. Oh yes, we know that Peter became a completely changed man after Pentecost. Oh, we see such a different man. Oh, when the Holy Ghost came into his being. Oh yes, he had walked with Jesus those 3.5 years. He was committed to him, I would say. He had left everything to follow Jesus. And yes, he even had revelation knowledge that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. But, oh my, there was something that he didn't yet have. He didn't yet have the Holy Ghost. He was not yet converted. Oh, but praise the Lord for that great and wonderful change that came even upon Peter after Pentecost. Oh, yes, when he was fully immersed with the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Ghost, baptism. Praise the Lord. So, yes, we need the Lord. We must turn our lives over to him. We must be freed from this body of sin and death. Amen. If we want hope in this world, if we want to see the Lord, oh, we're not going to be able to stand before him in our sin. But, oh my, we don't have to. We don't have to. Because Jesus came into this world to make a way of escape so we could be free from the law of sin and death.
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So it goes on to tell us, yes, in verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord, yes, mortifying that body of sin that tries to rise up even. It tells us in verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. And just to read a little bit more, because this whole chapter is so amazing, but oh my, just not to go quite to the whole length here tonight, it tells us in verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. And oh my, look at it in verse 13, I mean, it's, boys, to the point, it says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And verse 14 tells us, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that's such a wonderful thing. Oh, yes. To be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. To be led by the Spirit. And it tells us in verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Oh, praise the Lord. Abba, that endearing term that means daddy. Oh, we're adopted into the family of Jesus Christ. We become his sons and daughters. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, what a blessing it is that we could be part of the family of God. Amen. Oh, my. What a privilege beyond anything we could ever express. Thanks be to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 here now. We already know that, Paul had spent quite a while there with the Corinthians there when this church was established. And obviously, when he wrote this epistle, it's down the road just a little bit from that initial time when he was there for at least a year and a half. But oh my, so here, there are some problems that have risen in the church. And the first chapter of 1 Corinthians addressed some of that too. They had this situation where, there was a division among them, and there was this confusion, and some of them, were saying, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ, and it was kind of a mess that way, and not that it mattered, who particularly had baptized them, or who had been their pastor, and all of that, but it was a conflict. They had allowed that to become a point of division among them, and it was so ridiculous and unneedful. But here again, he's getting into some of the nitty-gritties here in chapter 3, and he says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. In other words, although this church had been established, they had not gone to a spiritual maturity in the Lord. And we could, not consider them to be even spiritually minded at this point. He's calling them carnal, of the flesh, and we just read there from Romans 8 the need to not be carnally minded. But oh my, he says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. So, you know, it was like they were still babes in Jesus Christ, and they hadn't grown properly. They hadn't grown spiritually enough so that they, you know, he could fully teach them even things that they needed to hear. And here he's explaining in verse 3, "For ye are yet carnal, all mine, full of the flesh. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Oh my, so these were the things that were going on here. And oh my, he mentions, first of all, envying and strife particularly. You know, just to gain a perspective of this, oh my, James wrote about envying a little bit. If we just go here for a moment here to see how James expressed these characteristics here. Praise the Lord. This envying here, you go to the third chapter here in James. James wrote in verse 14 here, the third chapter of James, verse 14. "But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish." Verse 16 explains, "For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Oh my, nothing good about envying and strife. No, James, you know, oh boy, he expressed it as being not from above, but earthly, sensual, and devilish. And where that exists, there's going to be confusion and every evil work. No, we don't want that in the church, do we? And then he has to end that third chapter, verse 17 says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we want that wisdom that is from above. And oh, it is so beautiful, that wisdom that's pure and peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Such a contrast to the bitter envying and strife. But here, Paul is mentioning, back here in 1 Corinthians 3, that there's a problem in that congregation. Yeah, there's envying and strife among them. And then he says, divisions. And by, this isn't good either. Just looking at a few verses here, 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, it tells us in verse 10, "Now I beseech ye, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." If we look back to Romans here, the 16th chapter, Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 16 right here at the end, verse 17 here, the last chapter that is in the book of Romans, verse 17, "Now I beseech ye, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." He explains, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Oh my, so, you know, that is definitely something we don't want to have among us, divisions and offenses, and it says, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. You know, therefore, you know, it's supposed to be a pure doctrine. There's not supposed to be, you know, all kinds of different doctrines that contradict one another, but we're supposed to be on the same page here if we're on the if we're in the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So yes, this is being told us here, and just to turn to another page here, Romans the 15th chapter, looking at verse 5 here, Paul is writing here in this case, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus." Verse 6 tells us here in this 15th chapter, "That you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So you see the importance here. We're supposed to be on the same page if we're in the body of Christ. There's not supposed to be envy and strife. There's not supposed to be divisions. Of course, I know I went here the other night, a couple weeks ago, but Ephesians, the 4th chapter here, it tells us here in Ephesians 4, starting with verse 11, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Oh, yes, the Lord working in each and every one of us as a part of the body of Christ. All of us doing our own separate things that God has ordained us to do, but yet as the body of Christ, fitly joined together. And praise the Lord, the Spirit of God working through us as individuals to supply all the needs for the body of Christ. If he's working in us, so every part can be fulfilled, and you know, the body of Christ being complete in that sense. But oh my, yes, there is such a need at this point, because often, and particularly I think in this current world that we live in right now, there's just so much division. There's such a lack of unity, and there's so many doctrines that have sprung up through the years till we have quite the conflict here. But praise the Lord, it's all in the scripture. And praise the Lord, if we could all seek the Lord as we need to, we could come to that place where we're all with that same mind and in accord, not being tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. But praise the Lord, coming to that place where we have the knowledge of the Son of God. Amen.
Amen.
Unto a place of maturity in the Lord Jesus. Praise our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So here, going back to 1 Corinthians Oh, yes, again, you know, Paul is calling these people carnal because, yes, you know, there was envy and strife. And there were divisions there, and they were carnal. And they were walking as men. They were not perceiving things spiritually as they needed to. And then he goes on to say in verse 4, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal?" You know, just going through this debate and beating the flesh on such, you know, controversies here. And he says, "Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man." And a minister is a servant. Oh, yes. And yes, that's, oh, yes, as Jesus came to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Oh, praise the Lord, he calls us to that place of servitude. Praise the Lord that, you know, we too become ministers. Praise the Lord for the cause of Christ. And he explains in verse 6, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." You know, it's all because of God. You know, we all do our parts, hopefully, in the body of Christ. That's our goal, that we would do that which God has called us to do as individuals. But we could do nothing apart from God. He's the vine, and we're the branches. And you know, there is that need that we abide in him and he in us. For without him, we could do nothing. Nothing at all. It's God who gives the increase. And oh, he goes on to say in verse 8, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, we're all called, oh, yes, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, you know, we're all members all together in that body, but we all have our particular functions to fulfill in that body. And, you know, it all works together when everybody is doing their part. And so, thus, when it is over, rewards will be passed out according to our own labors, it tells us here. Praise the Lord. But yes, we are striving for the same cause and for the same purpose. We're all here together, oh yes, because of Jesus Christ, to do his will, to take his orders, to complete the work that he began when he came to this world. And verse 9 tells us, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." Praise the Lord. And this is exciting to think. See, laborers together, all doing our little parts of, you know, part of the body of Christ that God has called us to do. And yes, he says, "Ye are God's husbandry." You know, that's like saying, you know, you're God's garden. Oh, praise the Lord. His plantings. Praise the Lord. It's because of him. He planted us. Praise the Lord. And yes, so, you know, we're all God's. We're doing his will, his bidding. Praise the Lord. And then he says, "Ye are God's building." Oh, yes, we become the temple of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, how he works through us. How we become that temple, oh yes, in the time of the Old Covenant, they built a temple for the glory of God, a place where they could assemble and gather and worship the Lord. But under this new covenant, his people become the temple or the dwelling place of the living God. Praise the Lord. He doesn't dwell in buildings made with man's hands. No, but he comes to dwell in our hearts, in our beings. So we become the temple of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, it's such a privilege. You know, yes, there was this thing going on, you know, some, you know, saying, well, I'm a Paul, I'm of Apollos, and you know, like it was a concern, like it was a matter, you know, something to debate over. Hey, come on, that's not what mattered at all, you know? It's all being apart, working together, doing our own particular things as God has called us to do. You know, it was so interesting too, and we had gone to the 18th chapter of the book of Acts a couple weeks ago, and that's where this church of Corinth was established when Paul left Athens, and then he came to Corinth, and there, while he was there, he found Aquila and Priscilla, and they were tent makers. Paul was a tent maker, and you know, he abode with them. They had the same craft, and obviously, you know, Aquila and Priscilla are Christians, and I don't know if it was through Paul's influence or how that all developed, but anyway, Paul would go into the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he was persuading the Jews and the Greeks, and you know, it came to a point when you know, he had to just kind of bear down and tell those Jews that Jesus was indeed the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. And at that point, the opposition came, and those Jewish individuals became very upset. And, you know, Paul, from that point, he said, henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. But God had a work there in Corinth. And yes, he was able to work with individuals that did believe. He was able to join himself to one named Justice, who had a home that was next to the synagogue. And it tells us that Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians that heard the gospel believed and were baptized. So God was working in that place, and God actually came to Paul in a vision and told him that he should not be afraid, but was to speak and not hold his peace, because God reassured him that he was with him and that no man was going to sit on him to hurt him or to hinder him. God told him that he had much people in that city. So that was pretty amazing. That work continued for a year and 6 months. And oh yes, there was a bit of an insurrection that developed, but you know, there was a wise man named Gallio who was the deputy, and he was able to drive those Jews that came forth to cause the trouble, to stir the masses away. So that was put down. And you know, Paul lingered there a little while after that, and then he took his leave, and he sailed, you know, yonder on to Syria and other places. But he took Priscilla and Aquila with him. And he tells us he came to Ephesus after that point, and there he left Priscilla and Aquila. While Paul went on, his desire was to get to Jerusalem for the time of the feast. But anyway, in the meantime, Priscilla and Aquila, they were ministering in Ephesus. And that's when they met Apollos. So we look at verse 24 in the 18th chapter of Acts. It tells us, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And it tells us in verse 26 here in the 18th chapter of Acts, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, who, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So this is what seems to have happened. This Apollos that was ministered to by Aquila and Priscilla went on to Achaia, and it seems that he had connections with this church at Corinth, therefore, and the Lord mightily used him. And of course, he embraced the gospel. Once he was shown that Jesus had come into the world, and yes, I'm sure he was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. But oh my, he was used of God. And so we see there, he had a great influence on the church of Corinth. And Paul had gone on, but Apollos obviously ministered there for a season, for whatever time, and mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scripture that Jesus was Christ. So, praise the Lord, that's kind of the background here that, you know, pertains here to even this third chapter of 1 Corinthians and all this controversy that had emerged here in that church. And obviously, you know, at this point, you know, the spirituality there is not there in a thriving way at all. They're considered carnal by Paul, and oh my, there are definitely reasons for that. But here, Paul is trying to, again, get them, to be spiritually minded, to instruct them in such a way that they'll get back on track by the grace and mercy of God. And, oh boy, explaining, you know, this thing that you got going around, you know, just some saying I am a Paul and others saying I am of Apollos. You know, come on, this is carnality. this is not a spiritual matter. This is not anything that matters. You know, the important thing is that you came to Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, that you became his child. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that is what was going on. That's why the Apollos is, you know, obviously someone that influenced them greatly. But going on, yes, as Paul told them in this letter to them here, this third chapter, verse 9 again, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. And then he goes on to tell them, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. In other words, he had established this work. And another builded thereon. Apollos came and builded thereon. But he says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Oh yes, that foundation that is laid. You know, you just can't, you know, build it any way that you want to. No, because it tells us in verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Oh, it is so important to build on the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh yes, that which he established, that foundation that he laid, that knowledge that comes to us, yes, as Peter realized there, the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, that Jesus was indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. And, you know, Jesus said, flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And, oh, yes, he was told that, you know, he was Peter. But oh my, on the rock, that revelation that Jesus Christ was going to build his church upon, that revelation, the rock that Jesus was indeed the Christ, the Son of the Living God, that revelation that Peter had received, Jesus would establish his church upon that. And praise the Lord, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, yes, thank the Lord for that. And he gave unto Peter the keys of the kingdom of heaven, telling him in the 19th verse of Matthew 16, that whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Praise the Lord. It was Peter on the day of Pentecost that opened up that door. Praise the Lord, after the Holy Ghost had fallen. Praise the Lord, when they asked that question, those that were there that day pricked in their hearts, oh yes, convicted of their sins, and asking, what must we do? Peter answered, yes, he was opening that door. He had the key that Jesus Christ had given him. And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, he said, for this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord. That was Peter. He was establishing the doctrine that Jesus Christ had come forth to declare. Amen. That was now opened and revealed. And here, yes, as we're told in 1 Corinthians 3, you can't build on any other foundation. No, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Peter goes on to explain a little bit more here in 1 Corinthians 3. He says in verse 12, now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. It's going to be revealed. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So here it is, you know, as we stand before the Lord, whatever our life has brought forth, what our work has completed, is going to be made manifest at that point. Oh, there's all kinds of possibilities, you know. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, some to a benefit and some to a disgrace. But oh yes, that moment when we stand before the Lord, the judgment seat of Christ, oh, the righteous judge, oh, our works having been tested, revealed by fire, oh, that's going to show forth what we have done in this life. Oh, what a serious matter this is. Yes, Paul wrote that, oh, the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And so it is. The things that we have done for Christ, those are the things that will remain. Oh, all these other endeavors will not have meaning at that moment. And how we want to have things. Oh, yes, we want to bring forth works that, oh my, will be works that will stay. Oh, yes, that will be works that, oh my, can go forth to bring us into a place of being fruitful. Yes. So it tells us in verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So yes, some works will stand and some works will not. according to this explanation here. Then he goes on to say in verse 16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." In other words, you cannot put unclean things into God's temple. Oh, it's going to be abominable in the sight of God. God's not going to endear it. It's not going to be of value. It's not going to be fruitful. Oh my, you know, God's temple, his people, we must be holy as God is holy. And so, you know, if we reap to the things of the flesh, if we lived on the side of carnality, if we have not walked in the Spirit, we've just lived in that place where we just fulfill the lust of the flesh, I don't think we're going to have anything of profit to show when we stand before the righteous judge. Oh, we don't want any unclean things in our vessel. Oh, we want to put down the old man and all the things that are contrary to the will of God. And it's declared pretty clearly here, verse 17. "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Oh, it's explained a little more in the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians. There, if we read verses 19 and 20, Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Amen. We become the temple of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And oh, we must put on Christ. Oh, yes, we must bid the old man to be gone. Oh, yes, we've been bought with a price. And therefore, it's a need, yes, to glorify God in our body and in our spirit. Because, yes, our body and our spirit belongs to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. The temple of the Holy Ghost, that means that's the dwelling place of Almighty God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. So yes, they're being warned here. And Paul goes on to say here in this third chapter here in verse 18, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise." Oh, we're not going to get into heaven by the wisdom of man. Oh, people might think so. You know, they might read this book. It might be very impressive. They might take this course. And you know, I seem like, you know, there was a wise individual leading it. But it's not the wisdom of man that's going to get us into heaven. No, he's telling you, you know, if there's any that, you know, they seem to be wise in the world, you know, they have that worldly kind of wisdom, they're going to enter into the kingdom of God. He writes and says, let him become a fool. And I believe that word fool here means to become as a simple one. Oh, yes, you know, someone that's willing to get down on their knees and say, Lord, the wisdom of this world is just folly with you. It doesn't get me any place. I need to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. I need to give my life over to you. I need to repent and turn all things over to you. I need your wisdom. Oh, yes. Oh, that need to humble oneself in the eyes of the Lord, that you may be exalted in due time, to put down the ways of the flesh. other things that rise up to, you know, make us think that we're something, you know, of importance in this world. But oh, yes, Paul said, let no man deceive himself, you know. You could just, you know, you can think, you know, that you're good and be completely deceived. I can't help but think of the parable that Jesus told the two men that were in the temple there, you know, from the story that Jesus shared. And oh, yes, the one man who, you know, just looked at himself, a Pharisee, you know, and you know, was so proud of himself. And here he prayed, you know, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. And he named all the sins, you know, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican who was also there in the temple. And, you know, he patted himself on the back. He said, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Oh, you're so proud. God couldn't hear that man. There was no humility in him. There was no repentance. You know, that was the problem with the Pharisees. They thought, you know, they were so above everybody else. They were so proud of their status. You know, they assumed that they were righteous. And all, there was no admittance of sin. There was no acknowledging of their need to repent and turn to the Lord. Jesus can help them. No, you know, if one's righteousness is as the Pharisees, then, you know, you're not going to make it into heaven. But oh, there was the other man in the temple, and he was a publican. He was despised. He was hated by the others. He was a tax collector, but oh my, he had a realization of his sins. Oh, it was hitting him so hard that he couldn't even look up. He couldn't even as much as lift his eyes at the heaven. But, oh, he was looking down. He was smoting his breast. And he was saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, praise the Lord, that wonderful ability to acknowledge one's sin, to come to the Lord Jesus in repentance. Oh, praise the Lord, what a gift. You know, it's pretty hard to be seen, you know, at that moment, you know, when it touches us, it moves in us, and you know, all at once that realization hits that, oh my, I'm not so good. I'm pretty bad. I've done deplorable things. I've had horrible thoughts. I'm not right with God. You know, it hits pretty hard. But thank God for such a moment. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus said that it was the publican that went down to his house justified rather than the other one. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Oh, that need. Oh, that meek, that contrite spirit. Oh, God, thank you, Lord, for that moment when you brought us to that realization. Oh, thank the Lord for such a thing. But oh, yes, for he who would perceive himself as wise. Paul wrote here, verse 18 here in this third chapter of 1 Corinthians, let him become a fool as a simple one, that he may be wise. Oh, yes, that he might acknowledge his need and get right with God. Oh, and acquire the wisdom that is from above. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. That's how God looks at all. Oh, the claims of mankind, those that are esteemed wise, oh, those that profess, you know, that they have this knowledge above others. But with God, it's esteemed as foolishness. And it tells us here, this 19th verse, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Oh, praise the Lord. That's a quote from Job, the 5th chapter. And verse 13, yes, it is written, he taketh the wise in his own craftiness. And it goes on to say in Job 5:13, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. Oh, praise the Lord, that's going to come to naught. It's foolishness with God. And then he goes on to say in verse 20, and again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Psalms 94, verse 11, tells us, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Oh, that's how the Lord looks at the status of men that are often esteemed very wise in the sight of others. He says in verse 21, Paul writes, therefore let no man glory in man, for all things are yours. Oh, it's all because of Jesus and the work that he has done for us. Oh, that unselfish gift that Jesus gave to us, that we might have life. We might have an abundant life, a fruitful life in the Lord Jesus. So Paul ends this chapter here by summarizing verse 22. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, another name for Peter, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Oh, it's all because of Jesus Christ. That wonderful gift of salvation that he has given us, that price he paid on Calvary, that we might be his sons and daughters. Oh, praise the Lord, that we might know him as our Lord and our God. Oh, praise the Lord, that we don't have to walk after the course of this world. Praise the Lord, but oh my, we could be filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, and we can be led by the Spirit of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, we can put on Christ. What a gift. Oh, we don't want to be carnally minded. God forbid. We want to get to that place of the Lord where our minds are stayed upon him, where we're walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. Yes, because we know, as Paul expressed in Romans 8, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal man is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But oh, praise the Lord, what a wonderful thing if we can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Praise the Lord, and God has made it possible. Praise the Lord, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption. Praise the Lord, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Praise the Lord, oh, praise the Lord, brought into the family of Jesus Christ, building upon the foundation that he laid. Praise the Lord, and building our lives upon that, yes, by his grace and by his mercy. Praise the Lord. Oh, nothing that we could do of ourselves. It's all the gift of God. Yes. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank the Lord. Amen. Striving here for the mastery, striving to walk in the Spirit and overcome the flesh. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Well, if you're going to walk in the Spirit, you have to walk by faith. So let's sing number 78 in the chorus book, Keep On Walking by Faith. Number 78.
Keep on walking by faith.
God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you.
Thank you.